You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to another Massive Report podcast from Saucy Brewworks here in Harrison West, 3rd Michigan, where it's a good thing they sell delicious beer, because I don't know about you guys, but after what I've seen the last week or so, I could use a beer, or maybe two. I don't know. It looks like so far you guys aren't joining me, I guess. Oh, yes, you are. What do you got there, Bart?
Delicious, the BF Hefe, I believe.
Ah, very nice. I have one of the IPAs, and I forget which one, but they're all delicious. The Hazy, I think. Oh, they're all good. You should come down here anytime, and they have delicious pizza, do they not? They have
And swinging seats.
Yeah, and swinging seats, too.
We have not utilized, like, whatsoever.
No, they kind of want us in the corner. No, I get it.
Sam, it is quieter back here.
From a production standpoint, I feel like, you know, you probably have... I'm not enough of a challenge, just as is, the way I go back and forth away from the microphone. So maybe if we sat on, you know, the swinging seats,
we
it would create a challenge for
we
you.
We need headsets.
Totally switched to headsets.
All right, well, we're ignoring the elephant in the room with this small talk, so let's just get it out of the way. Your first reaction upon learning on Friday that Jossi Zardes was traded... I'm going to save you for last part. Mm-hmm. Jossi Zardes was traded to the Colorado Rapids, which is apparently, you know, and Western Conference teams, you forget that they exist because you never see them. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a team. And they were among the original teams in the league. But
it's the only team we do business with.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, really. So, Sam, I'll start with you. What was your reaction, your emotion, your raw feelings as one of the fan favorites all time, traded away?
Right. I mean, the basic raw feeling, it was just adding salt to the wound that was the U.S. Open Cup and how that went down, which I know we're going to talk about later. But really, it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise at all. It was it seems like they're giving up on the season, but the way they're talking about it makes it sound like they already either have somebody in mind or that they have... like they're in deep negotiations with somebody, that there's something there. And I'm like, so my benefit of the doubt was like, I hope you have something there. Now, I am sad that Jazzy's leaving. I love Jazzy. He was a great dude on and off the field. But again, I was not surprised. I felt that that might have happened in the off season.
Would have been better this last year.
And when they started Miguel, I was like, okay, this is going to happen any moment now. And it was just a matter of time.
All right, well, Murph, we'll get to what you've been able to discern from the tea leaves inside the organization in a moment, but just your feelings about, if we could plumb your feelings
right
on this.
I was surprised. I was definitely surprised that it happened when it happened. Like Sam said, I thought it would have happened earlier, or based on what they'd said, it sounded like he was going to hang around here and continue to fight for playing time. I mean, Caleb had talked about playing two forwards more recently, so... you know, I think probably the offer just came in that was right. But, yeah, I think I would echo what Sam said. You know, I'm sure fans have interacted with Jossi plenty over the years. He's just such a good dude. You know, was always good with his time, not just with us in the media, but with fans. And, you know, his kids have started to grow up really here in Columbus and whatnot. So, I mean, this is a part of professional sports, obviously. And, you know, guys get traded, guys move around. But it is sad when you have somebody. I mean, he's third all time on the Cruz scoring list, which I knew he was up there. But when I looked at it, I was like, wow, you know, he's certainly made an impact on and off the field. He will be missed. I know in the locker room, just in general, what the guys think of him. So, yeah, it was surprising and it was sad. But, you know, this is kind of the business. And I guess eventually you get a little numb to it, knowing guys can disappear at any point in time.
Yeah. Bart, as sort of our resident Nordica fan on the podcast, I'm sure that there were a lot of emotions, not only from you, but also from your friends.
Yeah, I mean, this one was, it did, there was a little bit of an air of inevitability even after, you know, especially after the kind of leaks or reporting was coming out early in the year that, you know, they were potentially looking. And again, this was, it wasn't, you know, this was the MLS soccer insiders doing it. You know, there's a little bit of smoke probably to that fire. I guess, I mean, obviously, Jossie's a fan favorite. He's one of, I mean, just a guy who really, I think a lot of us fans from Columbus, and maybe, you know, some of this is kind of, you know, trauma passed on from other Columbus teams that we won't mention, where they've had stars that have spurned them to go to big markets. But Jossie was a guy who came from L.A. He came from L.A., and he just never – there's never any complaints. There's never any attitude about it. And he came in, and he just he was a guy that a lot of people, you know, when they made that trade for Ola Kamara, for Jossie, you had a lot of fans. They were saying, you know, what's this? A lot of, you know, U.S. national team fans that were saying this guy's washed up, you guys are getting – and he came in and had his most productive seasons as an MLSer. He was such an asset in the community. I mean, one of the things that was most telling and really got me worked up the day of the trade until I was assured that it was a picture that had been taken prior was this picture of a tweet that comes out from Nationwide Children's that day of Jossie Zardes with his wife – visiting a young kid there at Nationwide Children's, and I think that was really indicative. He was the face of that, you know, that On Our Sleeves campaign, one of just the most active members in the community. And again, I think a guy who's still what surprised me, even though it was inevitable, it's not like this team, you know, even if Jossie wasn't necessarily producing, it's not like this team was getting production from anyone else at Stryker. Not in the place, you know, to be dealing away a designated player Stryker. And that's, I guess, you know, we'll get to my point that sort of is reiterating with Sam and Patrick, which is I'm kind of lost a little bit on the timing, because I think you pull the trigger now, or you pull the trigger when you've got a guy ready to come in. And because right now there ain't a new announcement. I think the transfer, you know, I don't know if they can do business before, you know, July
until early May, okay, where you can. And it's a little weird with the transfer window stuff, but yeah, they can make a move now if they act quickly.
I think they absolutely need to, and if they don't, it's a huge unnecessary move, unless again you're just trying to you know, tank the season, in which case I think there are bigger problems with the team that have more impact on the outcome than Jossie Zardes was.
All right, we'll circle back around to our feelings about Jossie at the end. If you have a moment that is a favorite from Jossie's artist tenure here, we'll swing back around at the end and share some of those. But, Murph, I want to get to the business end of this, because, of course, MLS, anytime you have a trade, it's not like this guy for that guy. I mean, sometimes it is, but usually it's this arcane lawyer language, and it involves hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's like allocation, general allocation money, and all this, and your eyes just glaze over. What did we in fact get in return, and what can we do with what we got?
Well, basically, because it is general allocation money, so it can be used. Yeah, it can be used in pretty much any way. So they can use this towards a new player, which is, from my understanding, the intent. When I was reaching out to people after Jeff Carlisle put out the initial tweet that this was happening, I was told, once I could get it confirmed, that, look, that we're not tanking the season, and I think they wanted that to be out there, was that there is intent here to now make a move to improve the attack, and this was the move that opened the door. Now, you know, I know people don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, if you look at it from a crew perspective, Jossie's on the wrong side of 30. He's at the end of his contract after this season. So there are reasons why, and if Colorado's interested, you know, I guess I can understand why you make a move.
So with this allocation money that we have, do we have any other allocation money that we can add to that?
Yeah, I would have to look up, and there's no easy way to do this. They don't just have a
can we grab a player from anywhere once the transfer window hits and they're out of contract?
Yeah, or they can use this to buy a player from a club,
right?
Under, yeah, so they'll definitely get $300,000 in general allocation money dollars, and then based on incentives, this can go all the way up to $1.4 million, which I actually think, and they, what I was told was that they feel like a lot of the incentives can be hit. Now, I saw one of the writers for the Denver Post had a story that included some of the what he was told on some of the things, and that was like making the World Cup and re-signing with Colorado.
Jossie would have to make the World Cup roster as part of sweetening the deal.
Right. I was not told specifics, but based on what I was told, now that article also incorrectly reported the amount of money, so I'm not sure the sourcing here, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but the way it was laid out to me was more so that, hey, we think we'll hit a lot of, he'll hit a lot of these, and we'll get a good chunk of that incentive-based bonus or money back.
I think it's a long shot that he's going to be on the World Cup roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he goes out there and starts playing well, you know, gets into the form he's normally in, I think Greg is, you know, obviously Greg is very familiar with him.
Sure.
And I think he, if there's the last, you know, one or two spots on that roster, I think Giassi's a guy you seriously consider if he's playing well because of what he can do off the field, what he can do defensively. So I think there's a, you know, I've said this when he was on the crew, I think there was definitely a path for him to make it. He's got to be playing, and that's part of this too.
Yeah.
And I don't think Giassi ever demanded a trade or anything like that, but the guy wants to play.
Is he happy about this? If you spoke to his heart of hearts, is he happy about it?
I think it's probably, and this is just a guess on my part, but I would imagine getting to know him a little bit, I think he's definitely disappointed that it wasn't able to just work out here and that, you know, he couldn't be the starting guy and be scoring like he had been and all that. But I do think he's probably happy for the opportunity. And let's be honest, he's moving out to Denver. There are worse places in MLS you could be traded.
It's beautiful.
I was talking to Jordan Angeli, the crew TV announcer, and she's from out there, and you know, she said the same thing, was like, well, I hear that place is pretty nice, so at the very least, and they need goals. You know, Colorado is a team that hasn't scored a lot this year, hasn't done well.
Well, to your point, needing goals, we've talked about this a lot when we speculate on who might come in. The two toughest positions, I think, that we've talked about a lot to fill are central defender and striker.
Yeah.
Finding a striker in the world, everybody wants a goal scorer.
Well, and you either have to pay a lot, or you get, you know, you develop or kind of get lucky with a guy. And I think, well, Colorado didn't give up nothing. I think this is a pretty good deal for them. And obviously he's a recognized name. I know, as Bart said, sometimes on Twitter he gets mocked for things. But, you know, he will go there and quickly be a fan favorite, I imagine, just like he was here.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. But that leads back to what you talked about. Miguel Berry is not the answer. I was sitting there watching the Kansas City game the other night going, he's going to play the whole match because there's nobody else right now.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, I understand, I think, you know, ultimately if you're saying, hey, you know, gun to your head, you've got to go Giassi or Miguel Berry this season, why you'd make the Miguel Berry decision. He's got a higher ceiling. And you got to see what you got from him. But Miguel Berry, just because he's a relatively young and new crew player, he's not really young from soccer standards. He's 24 years old. He's, you know, that's about, he's 3 years younger than Giassi was when the crew traded for him.
Yeah.
So he absolutely, you know, he's about who he is as a player. He can be more, certainly. I think he can be more productive than he's been. I don't know if someone can do laser removal for the neck tat or whatever it is that's got him off right now. But it's really concerning when, again, you've got Miguel Berry, who I was talking about at the beginning of the season, I think others, that, you know, I think we need to probably temper our expectations with him. I know he scored 11 goals off the bench last year.
He became a folk hero so fast.
But that might not be something that he's able to sustain over the course of an MLS season. And I didn't want to get rid of Jossie because I didn't want nothing standing between Eric Hurtado starting other than, you know, a freak Miguel Berry injury. And that's all we got right
now.
Well,
God forbid he takes a knock and has to sit. I think you tweeted the other day, Murph, that you were frustrated by watching Miguel Berry play with his head down so much. I think that was you.
It's a lot of that. And this is something I really noticed in that game. Just too much when he has the ball dribbling. You know, it's head down, and I think that's that used to be a very criticism of American players, you know, especially before, you know, guys were getting out and playing and training with proper coaching and stuff. And obviously this goes a while back, but you know, you can't do much when you're not looking up to see where what's going on around you when you're dribbling or whatnot, and that's got to change, and that's got to change quick.
And you can see how that could happen in this country over the years, because a guy like Miguel Berry is always the best player on his club team, most likely, and can get away playing that way. And I think that we've improved in that area. Case in point, look at all the American players playing at a high level in Europe now. So we've certainly improved in that. It used to be, well, you've got this goalie here and that goalie there, and you know, that's it. Right. So we've improved in that area, but it's still important to not do those kinds of things. And maybe he will be the answer. He certainly seems athletic enough.
Yeah, and I think he's, to Bart's point, yes, he is. He's not young. But he is, you know, he went through the college system, so he's young as a pro. But, yeah, he's definitely not. So I think the developmental side of his game is still there. I still think he can improve.
Is Caleb Porter the guy to develop him, though?
I mean, I guess if you look at the guys Caleb – now, he did coach successfully at Akron, but that program was pretty stacked. You know, you look at Caleb's track record, it's not of one of developing. I mean, you go back to what they did a lot in Portland and what they've done here, it's, you know, signing guys that are in their prime, sometimes even a little, you might consider a little older, that can help you win now. And it's been less about development. Now, that's not to say, you know, I'm sure there were examples in Portland. There have been young players who have done well in Columbus. But, yeah, that's a good question, Brian. And I don't know, because, I mean, you think about the guys who have been successful under Caleb. Fernando Adi, when he was in Portland, was a guy they signed ready to go. Giassi obviously was here when he came in. You know, your other star players offensively have been a Lucas Ellerayon, who was ready to, you know, it wasn't like they got him at 22 and turned him into this player. So, yeah, that's a good question. I think this is a test for that. But I do think they'll go make a move, and then we won't hopefully have to talk about it, because whoever they bring in hopefully is scoring goals.
And it's difficult to speculate, because if we were talking baseball, you know, there's a limited universe of players. You know, you get to August or leading up to the trade deadline, it's like, well, this team's out of it. They're shopping this guy and that guy and that guy. We're talking about the entire world, and there are guys out there that we've never heard of that they have an eye on. No question. Yeah. I have no doubt. But this has to happen sooner rather than later. The good news is, if you look at the table, it's like you win a game, you move up to fourth practically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy how mediocre the Eastern Conference is.
And don't forget that even some of those teams that are hot, like Philly right now, New York went down to Orlando and won down there. You know, some of those teams, just like Kansas City a few years ago, they were hot for two-thirds of the season, and then the last third of the season, they just couldn't find the broadside of the
bar. And look who's cold, New England, which is shocking. I don't know when we play them, but they've truly been awful.
Soon.
DC United, our opponent on Saturday night at lower.com, hasn't been much better. They did get a victory over New England. We'll talk about them.
They fired their coach, too.
They fired their coach. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that Caleb Porter carries himself in such a way that he's not going to engender a lot of love from the fan base. So he needs to get results. And he obviously reads his social media, or somebody's filling his head with what people are saying, just based on the things that he says. So, and he doesn't make it any easier on himself. He seems to enjoy that sort of like, I'll show you guys, you dummies, I'll show you, rather than, you know, just focusing on the things he needs to focus on. Let's be honest. If you did a poll of Crew fans, do you love Caleb Porter? How many would say, yes, I love him?
I mean,
not that it matters, but...
I think, you know, it depends. I think at this point in time, I think people are probably, and through that last season, that fans are generally, I think, pretty much tired of it. They're tired of it, and they're waiting, because it does seem like there's always, and you know, sometimes there are valid excuses, but there's always an excuse. And I think ultimately, it's got, I mean, obviously, you officiating – in MLS Pro, it is not great. But I would even argue, you know, that I think it's exceptionally bad when the Crew are involved. I don't have any empirical evidence to support that, but
it just is.
Bart. I'm just going by the eye test, but I think ultimately, you know, other teams are playing with those conditions, and that can't really be an excuse week in, week out. I think he needs to not worry about what fans are saying and worry about what's being said or not being said in the locker room, because he may think that he's got this locker room right now, but the results week in and week out do not show it. They are not. If he's got a game plan that is, you know, supposed to break this lull that they've been in, they are not executing. So there's some sort of breakdown in communication. And I would be far less concerned about justifying and rationalizing to the media why you know a result came a certain way than I would be with taking care of business in that locker room to make sure that then the results speak for themselves. You don't have to say anything.
Murph, is he on the hot seat?
I don't know.
They lose three more games in a row. Let's just pick a figure out of the sky.
Then for sure. I mean, I talked with Jacob Myers, Dispatch writer, a couple weeks ago, and we were saying it'll be very interesting to see getting through this Kansas City game and the D.C. game on Saturday where they stand. Because, you know, they got the draw in Kansas City. We'll talk about that. If they win D.C., if they get a good win against D.C., you know, somehow they start scoring goals, I think things start to shift. The pressure comes off a little bit. But I think if you lose at home to D.C., a team that is right where you are in the standings, then this, I think that's when you start to have those conversations. And I think that's when he starts to feel a bit more pressure. You know, last year, coming off an MLS Cup title, there were a lot of injuries, yeah, and, you know, we've covered that plenty.
You're not going to fire the coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
After that.
But
you're not going to do it.
I think that's when the conversations internally, I understand that fans have already brought this up, but, you know, I think that's when maybe they start considering, okay, if this doesn't turn around quickly, what do we do? Because, you know, you've put together what on paper looked like a pretty good team and
started out really solid.
Right. And the results just had, you know, frankly, they say what you will about the performances, which I know is something that players and coaches look at, but the results have not been there.
And just one thing, this is also not a team that is built for a rebuild. This is a win-now team when you look at the players that are in there. So, again, if Caleb's not getting the job done, I think you need to get a new guy in there to see if that can be done. And then if not, look, you got to think about rebuild. I don't want to, because I still think you've got a lot of guys that still have gas in the tank that are still executing and performing at a high level. But if you can't get it out of these guys with a coach, then you've got to make some really tough decisions, and you don't want to wait to make those.
Right. And outside of turning things around and starting to win, if you do change coaching now, you are almost immediately going to go into a rebuild. Because a lot of those players, I don't think the new coach would keep. Because like you said, they're built for a win-now thing. But I think, and this is not to defend Caleb, because he kind of put himself in that situation, he's in a no-win situation. Mm-hmm. So, again, if they don't win...
Well, he's in a no-win situation if he doesn't win.
Yeah. Well, if he does win...
Being on the road.
If he does win, it at least it buys him a little time to figure things out. But if, as long as he's not winning, whether it's his coaching or the players that he has and how they execute, if he throws the players under the bus, the fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, Caleb's just passing the buck and throwing the players under the bus. If he throws himself under the bus, then they're like, well, why are we keeping him? Why not just fire him? So I think he has the smarts. I think it's just a terrible combination of him not being able to make adjustments, the players that he have not being able to not able to execute to a degree what he wants them to execute. And with them not, and I think you talked about this a couple weeks ago, with them not being able to score a goal, the mental toll and the psychological toll in trying to break that is so much harder.
I mean, that's the whole thing right now, right? If they score goals, this team's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean everything we else saw has been again, good. Every match, especially the first half an hour, we see play that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The build-up is good. Obviously, for the most part, defensively, there's been some breakdowns, certainly on dead ball situations. Another thing that needs to be fixed. But in the run of play, you know, we feel good about how we play in the back. We feel good about our goalkeeping. It's just this.
The last 20 yards is the bane of their existence right now.
So much video evidence now of how to defend us and how to close us off in those last 20 yards. We know how poorly we do when a team just decides to bunker in after scoring an early goal. We see that over and over and over again. One more question about this, and we got to move along. How is the – and obviously you're not going to know for sure, but how do you think the working relationship is between – Caleb Porter and Tim Bezbijinko at this point?
Good. As I tried to make clear on Twitter, we don't talk to Bez often. He's around, you know, especially with the new setup at.
We should clarify that why we don't talk to Bez often is that because he's not made available
correct.
To us
yeah.
mm-hmm. hardly at all.
Yeah, I mean, the general manager of a team.
Only when you pick up your checks.
Yeah, right,
yes.
right.
Yeah, of course.
That's a joke for the record. But the general manager isn't put out in front of the media as regularly as the coach or the players or whatnot. But the interactions I've witnessed with them, you know, I think they're good. I mean, Bez and Caleb are very different people in terms of their personalities. So, you know, I don't know how they are outside of work, but I mean,
you doubt they're having beers together.
Maybe not, but
that's okay.
I don't think you need that. I think you need a good working relationship, and I would imagine that they have. You know, let's remember, they were hired at the same time, more or less. You know, so this was a relationship that they were both aware of coming in, and, you know, both are smart guys. You know, both have had success. So, I would think their working relationship is fine. Now, obviously, when things don't go well and you maybe start to have these conversations, that makes things a bit more tenuous.
Well, I mean, they're pot committed now. With this trade, they are totally pot committed to coming up with an answer for this. Mm-hmm. But the thing of it is, Bezbijinko is not going to be the one to pay for this should it go wrong, at least not until Caleb Porter pays for it first. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the bottom line there. So we'll see what they come up with in the next few weeks, sooner rather than later, because there are a lot of things that need to be fixed.
I am curious. I'm going to throw this out there, and I know what's going to happen. But I am curious, at one point, the fans are even going to turn more also on the Haslams, depending on what they do in this striker situation, mm-hmm. considering the money that has been spent on the Browns in the most recent
I have already turned until, unless they bring in a big-time DP striker, because,
So I think that's depending on who they end up signing and bringing in as a striker. I'm wondering how much that's going to push a lot of people the wrong way.
No, you cannot claim poverty when you just handed out the biggest contract in NFL history to a guy that just missed another year, also with, let's say, questionable character. And
who
then
still
also,
might not play because of his
may
questionable
not play
character.
This game. And you formulated that contract in a way just in case he did, that he'd still get all that money. Even if he doesn't play. And then they also gave Denzel Ward the richest contract in DB history. So,
well, it's NFL
spending.
Up here and MLS down here.
It's not the same revenue. It's not, you know, it's definitely not the same. But
and the rules are, and
the rules
mechanisms
are
different.
Right. But
do you want to explain general allocation money to Jimmy Haslam?
Right. But two things. I think that's going to be one of those. Just one of those trigger situations that we as crew fans. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is that I don't think the performance matters to fans as much as they claim, as much as what the number on the scoreboard at the end of the game does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if they play a shit game and they still win 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1, it's a win, whether they played like shit or whether they played great. And I think this is the point where we're at. And a lot of people. I think, and if somebody wants to argue with me about it, I think that a lot of people are going to argue
that. It's wins and losses, you know?
Exactly.
It's wins and losses.
And I think there's a time in a season when that ramps up even within the team, you know, obviously the playoffs, but even before that, this was something Greg Berhalter used to talk about a lot, because they would have these rough stretches early in the year as they learned systems and new guys fit in. And, you know, he was always very much like, look, it's a process. As long as we stay around the playoff line until the summer and then we can start to make our move, and they traditionally did, then, you know, that's how MLS works. And we were talking earlier about, you know, a new coach or things. You're saying the rebuild. It doesn't take much to turn around in them. I mean, you can make a signing in the summer, start to find some form, make the playoffs, and make a run. I mean, we've seen it happen a lot.
But I will just say this. We got to – I think you've got to evaluate the body of Caleb Porter's work. And what it is in three seasons, he's missed the playoffs twice. He made the playoffs in one MLS Cup in a shortened season that had, I think, two different restarts. And look, it was crazy 2020 COVID year. All the rest of the teams were playing with all the difficulty of that. Crew and Caleb got it done. But when the rest of this body of work during traditional quote-unquote MLS seasons, he has been lackluster. The production, I mean, it's something like a 30 winning percentage. And he's, even in the COVID year, has not been able to win on the road. And we know the MLS teams aren't particularly good at, on the road, but he is exceptionally poor, or his teams have been on the road. And if you can't get a single point, at least they got a point, I guess, if we want to transition to that from Kansas City. But not getting it done on the road and not having anything but a kind of freaky but great MLS Cup to hang your hat on,
it was a lot of fun.
Haven't all three of their ties been on the road?
Yes, Red Bull,
Red Bull.
Okay, yeah, you might be right.
San Jose, yeah. So all three. Yeah. And didn't he break his road winning points last year?
I mean, he also went up to Detroit and lost to a JV team.
All right,
let's talk.
I don't know how much more we want to say about that Detroit game. I thought it was sort of like the set of a post-apocalyptic, dystopian thriller starring, Kurt Russell. You know, It looked like Escape from New York.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. I'm not familiar. How do you say the name of this area of Detroit?
I'd have to.
Hamtrak
or something?
Hamtrak. I thought it was like a joke because there was a train line there, and it was like,
well, that was
is it like the Amtrak? Oh, hey, the Hamtrak?
I turn into like an 8-year-old boy I see a train. I'm like, oh, train, train.
Yeah, Hamtrak, Michigan.
Otherwise, this was a glorified high school football stadium. It was very narrow. If they want to, USL, they play in a lot of sort of sketchy places as far as, we're playing in a minor league baseball stadium as they do in Louisville. I get it. But this seemed pretty down scale for a team that has ambitions. They beat us. You know, I think Detroit, a nice investment in a 10,000 seater for your club. I think that would be cool.
You'd think.
Because this place looks sketchy as hell.
But again, maybe they're just like, look, these rough lads, we don't want to make that investment.
It was an intimidating place to play. And the weather was terrible. And I'm not making excuses. I had a bad feeling going into that game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did too.
The whole vibe was just
not great vibes, Mom.
Nasty.
To be fair, I want to say I've kind of followed Detroit from afar, and hence my bad feeling about what the Crew was going to do up in Detroit. And I feel like that stadium fits the personality of that team that we saw in that game.
Well, that city
and that
is
works.
Like, go ahead.
That works,
we've already
right.
been punched in the face a million times. Go ahead and punch us in the face
again.
Who did they play in the next round?
They play New England?
Okay.
See, now that they're playing New England, I will root for them. Absolutely.
Is it in Detroit?
I love underdogs. That's why I love the FA Cup.
All I will say is that, like, their logo crest is really stupid looking, and I know it's the Detroit, like, you know, the big Detroit statue. All I'm gonna say is, like, If only there was another iconic Detroit statue that would work really well for a crest. Like, I don't know, like a triangle with a fist punching through it.
We've got the dumb C. So.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, but like that's so. We're still in an area where we can criticize that.
I actually like Detroit's crest.
Oh, I think it's dumb as hell. It looks like he's got.
And look, what Brian said. Anything compared to the shit that we have on our jerseys right now,
I get it.
Is better.
I'm trying to
if anything,
draw attention.
It kind of reminds me of the Guardians.
Well,
we're not going to talk about the Guardians. The C is fine, but the like weird Major League plus the '90s Angels and the Red Wings logo, that is god awful.
The on the ground reporting from Massive Report. What can you give me some? I don't even really care about the game anymore. We lost. I'm glad to be done with the U.S. Open Cup this year because this team doesn't need distractions. I love the U.S. Open Cup. Don't get me wrong. In retrospect, it's like okay, we're done with it. We don't have to worry about it anymore. But if you have some bullet points on what it was like up there,
well, I didn't go. Thomas went. Yeah. But from talking to him. I think this is what happens when you go to these stadiums. You know, he and Jacob Myers were on the field behind the goal, sort of in the corner. he said that, like, literally the crew players were warming up in front of him when Giassi went down for that second penalty kick that didn't get called. He said Yao Yeboah turned around and looked at him like, did you see that any better than we did? Like, was it a PK?
Which I think it was.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, I mean, the crew held an Open Cup game up at Akron one year, and the press box fits, and I'm not kidding, 6 people.
Right.
So Adam Jardy and I were sitting, like, on each other's lap, essentially. Yeah. So, you know, you get this. And that's kind of the, I mean, you'd
that's
like
part
it.
Part of the fun.
Yes, you'd like it to be a little, I mean, you mentioned in England in the FA Cup. You know, when you go to those small stadiums now, they've had soccer forever over there, so the small stadiums are still, you know, better than something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that is part of, you know, the luck of the draw to some degree. And quite literally, you get drawn. You have to go on the road to some of these places. And
by the way, Detroit plays Louisville. FC Cincinnati plays New England.
Oh, I must have seen that wrong.
Who are they playing? Right.
Louisville FC. Or,
that's
Racing Louisville.
Talk about the luck of the draw.
And I guess it's also, it's frustrating because I feel like this team, and you know, maybe I'm wrong if somebody's got the stats, but like between those last few years under Greg and then since Caleb, we've always kind of heard about, even last year, hey, the U.S. Open Cup, look, we're going to try to do this, and then they just fall on their faces or they make it one game. I mean, when is the last time we made it to the quarterfinals in the Open
Cup?
2010, when they went to the final against Seattle.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
So more than a decade.
Well, I think the biggest issue for me in not advancing in the Open Cup, because the Open Cup, I mean, I think Taylor Twellman had the tweet, I'd pull it up, but it showed the breakdown of how much you win if you win MLS Cup and you're the Supporters' Shield winner, and then like how much if you're the last place team to get in, and then the Open Cup. And the Open Cup's below, I think it's like $300,000. And it's just like there's not incentive for these guys to really put a ton to it because you don't – I mean, other than pride, there's not a ton. But I think that the biggest issue is now you don't have a chance to get some of those other guys more minutes. And I think you saw –
well, that's
some
a
of this,
good point.
Yeah,
that
some of this depth point. Just isn't ready yet. I mean, you know, a guy like Will Sands, who I think they're pretty high on as a left back of the future – he didn't look ready for that game. And there's some other guys, I don't mean to just single out one guy, but and it's just an opportunity.
Aiden's brother didn't look ready.
Yeah, and you just, you know, he's been playing Crew 2 games.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is an opportunity to get these guys some games. And, like, that's what I've always liked about the Open Cup.
A good point.
I think in memories, like, it was great that was the Crew's first trophy and, like, all that. But if you can make a little bit of a run just to get, and eventually you start playing first-team guys,
so
that's the unfortunate thing.
So, I know the answer to this, but this is more speculative than anything else. I feel that the Crew would have been better off if they played Crew 2 against Detroit. And that has nothing to do with, like, the playing level. It has to do with how much they've played together.
Yeah.
Like, Crew 2 is on a hot streak. which we're going to talk about later, and they're playing well together. How about you put that team as opposed to plucking?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I know, like I said, I know that that's not
We could put them in jerseys that have other people's names on them, I suppose. But it's too late for that.
And I still think ultimately, like, even if they're not playing as more than the sum of their parts, you should be able to take care of a USL team playing as the sum of your parts, and they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that team that they put on the field should have still won the game.
Yep.
It, as to Sam's point, it did look disjointed a lot of the time, but you still should be able. I mean, you know, you bring up Crew 2, that's a group of guys that had never played together, and they've lost one game, you know, now at a different level, but their own level. So, yeah, they should have gotten the job done. There's no question about that.
Well, what a sad way for Jossie Zardes to end his tenure with Columbus Crew, scoring his final ever goal for the club in that place. Mm-hmm. If we never see stadium again, that would be fine.
He should have had a hat trick from the spot.
Yeah. Well, should have, would have, could have. It really doesn't matter now. Let's touch on Kansas City. I don't know that there's really a whole lot to talk about that we haven't already talked about. Kansas City sort of displayed the issues that we talked about last week in this match. I mean, they're having a hell of a time scoring, too.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to point out from this game is that the Crew went there to make sure that you don't give up anything. Let's get out of here with a point, and if we can steal a goal, and they had a couple chances, great. But and Caleb even talked about this last week, just wanting to get something positive. And a point on the road is at least positive.
Thank God for Eloy Room.
Yeah. And
who played an old-school Room game that, you know, there's been a few wonky moments for him this season. Not all his fault, but I felt like he was on form. Yeah. And we talked about this last week as well. I brought it up. If I could just take credit for it. Is that I missed Aiden Morris's energy, and he provided 90 minutes of full bore energy, and I felt like
picked a few fights.
Yeah,
was one of I want him to stick his nose
that
in
fight.
There.
Yeah, I mean, literal fight. You know?
Yeah,
And I mean, I think it's also important to point out no Lucas El Rayon in this game.
Yep. Yeah,
you hope that having this week off will help, but he's still bothered by that knee injury that swelled up on him last week. He didn't practice all last week, so. You know, I kind of looked at this as given, you know, if you have Lucas and you're able to go on the road, you know, obviously you play differently. And I think against a struggling team, you hope you win. And just, but given the circumstances, I thought that was a positive result. I was worried after the rain delay that they would come out and just.
Yeah, that was not welcome.
Yeah, and just, you know, give one up. I could just see something stupid happening after that. And it's coming down harder and everything. But they were able to hold it, you know.
Very windy, too. I mean, the wind was the real problem.
Yeah, I give them credit for that. Now, it's still not – you need to win games.
Right.
But if you can – you need to get – this is my biggest thing. You need to be winning at home, and they haven't done that recently. That needs to turn around Saturday.
Well, and we were playing purportedly a desperate team. They should have been desperate. Their results have been terrible this whole season, and that's a club with a good track record and a passionate fan base. And they really showed almost nothing attack-wise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to get out of there against a desperate team with a good result, I thought Pedro looked great. He feels more at home in that position every week.
Yeah. No.
You know, if I look at Thomas's game grades, they were higher than I would have expected after watching that game.
Yeah.
But I thought about it. I go, I can kind of see what he's saying. Again, it just comes back to the finishing.
And I think it was also nice to see a little bit of a change in formation, too. I liked it when it came out. You know, like seeing when you look at one of the strengths for this team, it is the center midfield position when you just look at the players you got there. So finding the space to get Aiden Morris out there with Arthur and out there with Nagby. And I think it just adds another dimension, too, for this team that we've hit on again and again how it's always been, you know, sort of same system, always, you know, just running with our heads with a brick against the wall. I think my biggest takeaway is something that remains, that it is a is abhorrent that this team ever comes out on the field in that gray jersey with white shorts and white socks. It's awful. It is sticking a thumb in my eye. It is angering the gods. You've got.
Wow.
I mean, it's terrible. It is
maybe
awful.
Maybe that's
it
the problem.
Is,
maybe Caleb's not the problem. Maybe it, I mean 2 years
I
of these
think,
gray jerseys.
Look, I I'm not even. It's not even the gray. Just the gray jerseys. If they could throw some. They could if they don't want to do yellow. They could throw some black shorts with a little bit of yellow trim.
Gray, black, gray would look good.
But you cannot do it with that white. There needs to be black or yellow seen on this freaking team.
I'm in sort of this camp where I would like to see the black kit more.
What it's black just, kit?
That'll be next year.
Yeah.
There's
well,
no black kit.
I mean, I'd like it to come back.
Next
year.
It'll come back next year.
Okay.
I mean, but
all right. Then the yellow, the banana kit.
Here's where you can get mad at the
I mean, it could at least have you know again yellow. Look, they're doing it with the banana kit jerseys. They're not doing the banana kit. They've been doing the black shorts, and I'm fine with that. I'm great with it. I think it's cool to switch it up.
It looks
switch it up with this shit. Do not that white and gray. It looks stupid. I have no idea. You've got if you are watching with fans that are like new, you know, just casuals.
Which team
they
is
honestly
which?
Do not know. Yes. They don't know. You're playing Kansas City
that should never
versus
happen.
Columbus, and you've that, got here the Navy team versus what is this?
That
white
happens
thing
everywhere now. You know, it's know. Like
it's
in these
Garber.
Champions League games where you'll see what's Chelsea wearing, yeah, like yeah. The purple. You know, I don't know. It's like it's too much.
It
you're
is
right,
the
it's
worst.
Too much.
It is the worst kit in franchise history. Just the whole thing with the white shorts, with the white socks. I know you're not looking at me about the Four Columbus
right.
kit because
you know
the
what?
Four Columbus
you know
kit is
you know what
top
we're gonna
five.
Do?
I was looking at you just about that.
We're gonna go to the bar and we're gonna refresh our drink and then we're gonna come back and talk about DC United and wrap up this week's busy massive report. Never a shortage of drama. You know, I raise four daughters. This is more drama than that. That's how bad it is right now.
Look, this is
less drama.
This is a nil-nil game. There's not much that we have got to grasp
at
straws.
There was
severe weather.
Talk about.
Yeah.
There was no finishing to continue the trend.
All right. We're going to the bar. When we come back, we're going to talk about DC United. We are back in the Mass Report podcast, having taken a very fruitful journey to the bar. A mere, 20 feet from here, would you say, Bart?
Give or take.
I wouldn't know. I've never been there.
It's an easy
Bart,
walk.
Bart has people that go to the bar.
Yes, I noticed that. An easy walk from the coffee shop here. We are refreshed and ready to talk about DC United. Hey, a night game at 7:30, the traditional
crew
game. Start time and date, Saturday night at 7:30. Weather should be good. Upper 60s in the afternoon. It'd be a fine night for DC United to come to town. Seems like everybody in MLS is struggling. Every team we play is like, oh, this team is desperate. Well, DC United is so desperate that they sacked their manager just before their New England game last weekend, Hernan Losada, who in reading the our brother blog, our sister blog, for DC United, it seemed like the players didn't like him and the front office didn't like him.
That
nobody liked this poor guy. I don't know. What did he do? You know, they gave him a year. After giving Ben Olsen a decade, they gave this guy a year. And there were a lot of years where Ben Olsen's DC United, they were terrible. And I understand.
But Ben Olsen played for DC.
Well, I understand that. But at some point, this poor guy, he lasts a year, give or take a few weeks, and he's gone. And they respond with a 3-2 win over, well, what are you going to do with Bruce Arena there in New England? You know, when do you fire him?
He did not play for New England. Bruce.
You know, but they've been god-awful this year, which is perhaps the most shocking thing of this year's MLS season.
I just wouldn't bet on them staying that bad, though.
Yeah, I think they've made their bed, and they're just going to lay in it. Designated player Taxi Fountas. his first name is much longer, but they call him Taxi. He's from Greece. Scored a brace and an assist against New England, so I suppose we need to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, he's only played two games.
Yeah, so that could be a difference maker.
Yeah.
So that's a guy we certainly need to watch, the 26-year-old from Greece. What do we know about him?
Not much, because he's only played two games.
Well, he's from Greece. He played in Greece. Does he have any sort of a background that we need to know about?
Yeah, it was not a name. I remember just because his name is unique, when they signed him, it was not a player that I had heard of outside of that announcement. He's played...
Oh, of course. He had that prolific career with Rapid Wine.
Yeah.
What? Rapid Wine?
Rapid Vienne?
Nearly scored a goal every other game. Everyone knows this.
They are right. In Austrian football.
Okay. All
68
right.
games, 35 goals. He's played for a lot of teams.
Okay.
He was on loan for a lot. He was part of the Red Bull Salzburg
That whole
academy
pipeline.
And whatnot, I believe. Or at least he was there when he was young. He's only 26.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy who's played...
Young guy. Not a very big guy.
No, definitely not. Just an inch taller than I am, and I'm definitely not a big guy.
Probably very well liked with all the moves he's made, looking like he's not spent more than a season with a team since 2011-2013.
Huh. Well, I'm not going to speak to that. He has a cool name. That's all I know. But, irony of ironies, who's the leading scorer for DC United?
Ola Kamara.
That is correct, with 4 goals.
Who was a part of the last Giassi Zardes trade.
Yes! That's where I'm going with this.
I will go on the record again for the 100th time saying that I will take Ola Kamara back almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think DC United is giving him up.
No, probably not.
He's been productive.
Mm-hmm. Look, 4 goals on 8 shots on goal.
Yeah.
That was always a complaint with crew fans. Now, he's taken 14 total shots, but that was always a complaint with crew fans. Was like, he was so wasteful. It's like... Well, he's in MLS.
Was anyone really? I don't think there were ever any real complaints about.
Well,
Ola.
Maybe
I'm just remembering with like rose-colored glasses. But
yeah, I mean, he just missed. He did miss a lot of chances, but like he was an MLS striker who played for the Crew. You know, it wasn't like he was Zlatan.
We've seen the ball sail over the net so many times in our lives.
Because they traded him because they didn't want to sign him to that contract.
Well, he and Justin Merrim at the same time both asked, or roughly the same time, both asked to be moved, and both were. Looking at this game, like I said earlier when we were talking about the Caleb stuff, you're playing a team right about where you are in the standings. I think DC's a point.
DC has one more win. Same points, one more win.
Yeah.
No ties.
But you're at home. You've lost 2 straight games at home. This is a DC team that's shown they can score goals. They've got 10, but they've also given up 10 goals. So you not only need to score in this game, but you need to win this game. I mean, let's be frank about it. You can't be, if you think you're better than where the playoffs or the standings say you are right now, you have to start proving that against teams that are what you consider to be your inferior. And, obviously MLS is parity and all that stuff, but, like, this needs to be what the Orlando game should have been, which is a turnaround performance.
And this is, the weird thing about this is that we've been so unhappy, and we've expressed our unhappiness on multiple occasions here in this podcast. The Crew are actually a +1 goal differential.
Well, you don't give up goals.
Right. But it's just like, we forget these. We try to find these little positive nuggets.
They haven't been blown out, really, in any game.
No,
I think the false hope that we got in the beginning of the season is that they played Vancouver, which we knew was
not a good team,
and they beat them handily, and then they went on the road and played Red Bull, which had won their first 2 games, I think, and they tied on the road and looked pretty good, and then they come back, and they come from behind against Toronto.
Slightly out of order, but yes.
Well, yeah, but you kind of get the gist. Yeah. You had all these positive performances that all of a sudden you're like, what happened?
Well, and I think two things I think that'll be important. One is obvious, is Lucas back, because that helps.
Will he be back?
Yeah, and we'll find out tomorrow. We're recording this Monday night. Tuesday's the first media availability, so we'll try and get an update there on, if he's back in practice and whatnot. And then beyond that, Miloš Degnek left the game the other night with an injury. Josh came in for him. It didn't look serious, but, I thought he, other than the time he tried to clear the ball and kicked it right at Room had to make the save.
Yeah,
I thought he played well.
Yeah.
Now I'm glad Josh is back, and if Josh has to step in, I have no doubts he can do the job. But He just needs to keep his arms down when he goes into tackles. But, those are two guys that will be interesting storylines going into this. And, you know, I mean, when they don't have Lucas, the offense is definitely different and usually worse. So in a game you need to come back and win, even against a team that's given up goals, I think Lucas, and then you want to have that solidified back four, you know, you'd like to have Milos in there if he's available.
Another weird thing about DC United is Steve Birnbaum, which I was looking at their roster. I'm like, he's only 31?
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah. I feel like he should be like 42. So, yeah, they have that salty old veteran there. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting that this week of all weeks we face the return of Ola Kamara.
And just, this week I saw – I think it was actually in Colorado. We all are familiar with the legendary RFK Raccoons.
Oh, but yes.
The torch has been passed for the Colorado Stadium Owls. They're wonderful owls that are in Colorado Stadium just hanging out
awesome.
Now. So in the rich history. Exactly, the rich history. Like, this is the sort of history that MLS and Don Garber needs to embrace.
Wonderful
animal history.
Shouldn't the
Rapids
be the
yes.
Owls? Shouldn't they just refer to themselves
so.
As
I mean,
the Owls?
I think, you know, probably one of those Pacific Northwest teams should have been the Owls. Just to have, I'm a big Twin Peaks fan myself, but...
but the Spotty Owls?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a thing. That was
that'd
a thing.
Terrific.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, I did not know the Owl. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I did not.
I
love
the
Owls.
Torch of wonderful animal
so
interactions in MLS
so cool.
Stadium.
So cool. Well, I suppose we should make our picks here and kind of wind things down. Before we make our picks, though, and we text you. I'm sorry, I went fishing with my wife.
Yes.
Did not go to the Crew 2 game. You were there.
I was there.
Impressions, another win?
Yeah, another win. They came from behind, which was good to see. Kind of an unfortunate goal. One of the defenders slipped, kind of made it an easy play, but... Yeah, I like what this team does. I mean, and there was a bigger crowd than the first home game, I think, just because it was a Sunday afternoon, a nice day. You know, if you like the old stadium, if you like some decent... I mean, it's not MLS level for sure, but it's fun. And these kids are playing hard. You know, not all of them are kids, but, I mean, both teams even. And, you know, it's cool to be back in the Nordic at that stadium. They do have beer. They do have concessions. They've even got some merchandise, not Crew 2 merchandise, though there was talk about whether or not that would be coming.
They need that.
They
need that.
Do they have the black Crew 2 jersey for sale?
No,
because
no, no,
that
no.
is filthy, and the senior team should have that yesterday.
Somebody yes.
The
told,
two be the devil horns.
That
the
would be awesome.
Like Dio. Dio. Yes. Like
somebody
this.
Told me that they talked to Ty Phillips and that... it was made very clear to him that people would buy Crew 2 stuff.
Oh, my yeah. God, yes.
So I don't know how that gets passed along.
Friend of the pod, Ty Phillips.
Yeah,
if
I
only
mean, that
we could.
Has to happen. But it's got to have some cheekiness to
oh,
it,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I mean, you've seen, I mean, just to keep this back on the most important topic, animals, you've seen, obviously, the capybara, just ridiculous Crew 2 capybara memes. It's one of the best things on the internet, just... all the Crew 2 Capybara content. I want all of it. Send it all my way via Patrick_Pat_Murphy at Twitter. Send all your Capybara memes. I want all of them. They're terrific. I'm going
to
get the t-shirt.
It.
You're starting to sound like the cat lady
the
from
crew
the dating profile.
Yeah, but they're fun. And I recommend people
and
coming
they're winning.
Out. And the atmosphere, mm-hmm. you know, it's, I mean. The
when's
Nordic,
the next game?
Plus, you can see some more Josh Williams.
Their next home game, I believe, is when they play at lower.com after the LAFC crew game. I believe that's their next one.
That's going to be a big night. That's going to draw a big crowd, LAFC here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. And they're winning. Have they lost yet?
Crew 2?
Yeah.
They lost their first game of one every game since.
All right.
They can win on the road, too. They've done that.
Who's their coach?
Laurent yeah, Courtois.
Can we talk to him? Can we get an interview with him? Maybe find out? I don't know. I'm sorry, Caleb Porter. I know. It's all going to work out.
Caleb, you can come on the Massive Report and...
defend yourself. Yeah,
exactly. We will absolutely ask you.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. If we bought him a couple of beers, you think that would happen?
Absolutely,
these,
Caleb.
These
I
are
think
delicious
you should.
Beers.
Look,
delicious.
We are. I can't speak for Patrick and Sam. They're, you know, good devoted journalists, but Brian and I can be bought. We can be bought easily.
I mean, this
you want checks too, huh?
This is the same podcast that had Anthony Precourt on it, so we'll take anybody.
Wow, that was before my time.
Before my time. Too.
Did you know at the time that he was this source of evil?
There's a very nice picture of us.
Did he play you guys?
He played us.
Did he
like
bring queso?
He did buy all the beers that night, though.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
To be fair, though, we did also buy him Chinese.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, with that, I think we should make our picks and finish our beers and get out of here. I'll look to you first, Sam.
I'm going to say it's a 1-1 game.
All right. 1-1. Murph?
Well, it's inevitable that the team wins because I will not be there. I will actually be in Europe this weekend.
At a wedding?
No. I'm just.
You go to more weddings than
I do go to a lot of. It's just that time in life.
Singer.
But no, I will not be there. So
where are you going to be?
We'll be in England. We're going over there. We're going to London. And then we're going to a United game on Monday.
Very nice.
Yeah, it'll be
just
fun.
A vacation.
Yeah, we've gone. Well, we went right before COVID, and now we're going again because we didn't get to go last year.
All right. Well, that's always been my dream. So I want you to come back with a list of ideas of where we should go. And I've always dreamed of doing a soccer vacation where you hit all the levels. And
it would not be hard to do in a place like London.
Right.
Where there's
and to do, everywhere. Like, I think I need to do it around the FA Cup because I love the FA Cup so much. And just ride around in trains and go to small clubs and big clubs and just hang out with the supporters. Go to their pubs after the game.
That's so much fun.
And get a scarf.
Awesome.
And just do a random tour from the National League, the lowest levels of British soccer, up to Scotland, too.
I mean, if you get in the lowest levels, you might be able to get in some of those games.
Well, okay. Well, that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So it should be fun. But, the Crew should win because they like to do that when I'm not in attendance for home games. So we'll say I'll go 2-1. I don't want to be too optimistic since I predicted that the Crew would beat Detroit 3-0 last week, and that didn't happen. But I think they score a couple goals and get 3 points.
What's that like? Bart, you're the most optimistic of all, and you always like to top everyone else.
I know. And this one's tough for me because – you know, going with my eyes and with my brain, I don't know. I think that they probably draw this game, but I'm going with the heart, and that's, you know, we'll say a solid 3-1 Crew. I think 3-1 Crew sounds nice. I think Aiden Morris, you know, coming in just. I am not convinced that Lucas will be ready. I think maybe justifiably so, you want to slow walk him out there. So we see the 4-3-3 again. And I think Aiden Morris, just coming in creating chaos, gets just a goal off of that. I think we finally see Yaya Boa decides to, finally shows some of those glimpses that we saw in the YouTube highlight videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously.
The third goal is going to be who?
To lock it down, Josh Williams. Yeah. You bring in Josh Williams there late.
Did you even have to ask?
And Josh Williams draws a penalty on a corner kick.
There you go.
And Caleb says, you know what, Josh?
You earned it.
You're taking
it. All right. Well, I hate to be such a downer, but I'm thinking like 0-0 again.
That makes more sense on account of the
0-0. That's
what with your mind, not with your heart.
0-0. Ola Kamara shoots a 3 over the top, just for old time's sake. All right, we got to wrap things up. Thank you so much, guys, for Bart, for Murph, for Sam. My name is Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD92.9. I often forget to mention that you should like and subscribe.
There you go.
Like and subscribe, like and subscribe, like and subscribe. Do it, do it, do it, do it. And
leave,
only positive
reviews,
comments.
Yeah, but only nice.
Because we're sensitive, all right? And we thank Saucy Brew Works for having us. I know we make a lot of noise, but, you know, we're enjoying their products as well. You should do the same here at 3rd and Michigan and Harrison West anytime. They got the games on 7 in the morning, I would imagine, you know, when the Premier League kicks off early in the morning.
And you can stop by on your, you know, commute into work and get yourself some delicious saucy coffee.
I wondered where you were going with that, but they do have a coffee shop there as well. They do, and it's delicious. All right.
Or get your Pup a Cup. We look at the Pup Cup pictures all the time as we're here.
Thank you, guys. Murph, have a fun time in England.
I will.
And I'll see you guys. What, you're not going to be here next week?
I will not be here next week.
You should have to do the next episode with
English
accent.
From England!
No, just with an English accent. I want to hear Patrick Murphy's English accent after a week in England on
Fair
the
enough.
Next episode.
Fair enough.
I don't know how that's going to go.
All right.
Disastrous.
Thank you for listening.
It works for, you know, MLS broadcast. You just put a guy with an English accent and people are like, he's great.
He must know what he's talking about.
Bloody hell.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll talk to you next week.